You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking this road together. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call, you can text, you can weigh in. You can also go to breadboxmedia.com, become friend of the show. Just scroll, go over to the right side, scroll down to Dr. Michelle Live and click on that, and you can become a friend of the show by following the prompts. You can also look at archives. So many episodes. I don't even know where we're at. My compatriot and fellow contributor, Andrew Whaley, always marks his episodes. And I remember when he came on board with his episode number one, and I think he's up to 236. So I know we have lots in the coffers, and maybe some from the old radio days as well. So, Lots to choose from. So yesterday was Ash Wednesday. From dust we came, to dust we will return. It was a very moving mass for me, actually, and it took me forever to get there. And I heard actually on the way home that Ash Wednesday is the most visited mass by Catholics, more so than Easter or Christmas. And I was blown away. I had no idea. But if my parish was any indication, that's right on. I could not find a parking place. I made the mistake of actually having Mozart ride along with me. And even though it was cool outside and dark, there was no problem with that and him being in the car. However, I wanted to find a place where he would be less likely to have people go by, where he'd bark or other people walking dogs. And that was almost an impossibility. It was impossible. This huge parking lot, this parish, I think, has over 20,000 people in it. Huge parking lot. And all the streets surrounding just couldn't find a place. So I finally parked off the road in a puddle and got to Mass. And it was just so something about it. There was a spirit there that just was so moving, and something about standing in, I was like pressed against the back door. There were so many people, and the church is very large, so many people, but I could see the light of the altar, and where we were back in the vestibule, it was very dark. So I could see the heads of all the people in front of me, and I could see the moms with their babies bouncing up and down. And it was such a reminder of the procession of saints and the beauty of humanity and the beauty of the souls reaching out to begin this Lent, to begin Lent. Elderly people, women with walkers and older men kind of shuffling along, and the little tiny babies and the little kids in between. It's just so incredibly beautiful. And it gives you, if there's no other time to have an examination of conscience, whether I wanted to or not, it was right there. I saw everything in my life right there. It was just moving and just amazing. And of course, out of all these people, I'm probably the only one crying all the way up to communion. So that's what I did. It was just something that was, as I was going up the aisles, I'd glance here, I'd glance there. I could just see all humanity, all the beginnings of pregnant women, the how we just roll over and over through life. I just can't tell you. And maybe you all experience the same thing as well. And then in the moment where you get the ashes, I don't think I've ever had such a moving experience during Ash Wednesday as I did yesterday. What marked the difference? I don't know. And certain things came to me, and I was cautious about them because I was very filled with the Spirit at that point, and I could feel it, and I could get it. It probably was why I was crying. And the concept of letting go of attachments to the outcome of anything and the wisdom in that really came home to me. And the concept of forgiveness. And the reason I was cautious is because I know, or let's put it this way, probably not the best expectation. Let me put it this way. So here I did a little mind game with myself. I was cautious because I knew that as my human self, that it probably, if my history is any indication, where I come to some beautiful, spiritual, peaceful thought, and then within 1 second, I'm completely down in my own self, my own neuroses, my own issues. And so I thought, you know, okay, it's about the work. It's about the work. And maybe that's the lesson, because I really understood this, and my heart was filled with forgiveness for a lot of people in my life. And also in offering up all my ancestors and all my relatives as well, and all the things that are going on, and to align myself after, as I read to you a few days ago, and really allowing myself to read the words through Ludwig von Beethoven when he wrote Jesus on the Mount of Olives. The passion, it's incredible. And the text that he wrote along with the beautiful music is very inspiring, because he takes all the parts, the soldiers, and the soldiers have saying from their perspective, and the angel that's there as a witness, and also as a lifting him up, watching him in the chaos of man. Beautiful, the chaos of man, that he was planted here in the chaos of man to lift us up. It's just something that really, really got to me. And somehow that opened the door to the beauty, the wisdom, and the necessity of forgiveness. And at the same time, I also had that little self saying, yeah, but you're going to walk out these doors and life's going to hit you in the face again. And so, you know, just keep remembering and just keep asking God. All right, we're walking this walk. We're walking this walk. And as I came into my house, I was also realizing that anytime we hear of someone who says, okay, I get it, God. All right, I want to follow what you've just told me. And usually the message, even in Christ time and other than Christ time, when we had the messages from our saints, it's like, okay, great, but it's going to be a tough ride. It's not going to be just, oh, you got this light. It's following is tough. And this lovely Father Derek, who is just an amazing, he's my spiritual advisor. He's totally awesome. As he said the last time I saw him a couple of days ago, he talked about that the way is hard, that we say yes, and then we expect. And he mentioned that he had, I missed this, his particular homily, but he mentioned that in his homily of that Sunday, he said it was that one question, that last question. It's like, okay, I've done that, God. I've done this, God. I've done what do I do to follow you? Well, you have to love God. Yeah, I do love God. You got to be kind to your neighbor. I am. And you know, all this. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I've done all this. Is there anything else? What else do I have to do? And Jesus looked and said, well, now that you asked, you have to sell everything and follow me. Sell everything. In other words, and that ties into the concept that opened up to me yesterday of things that you're staking yourself. I'll give you an example of this when we come back from the break. But things that you are so wrapped into, even your home, that there needs to be a level of detachment that you will sell it all and follow him. And that scares me. I'm kind of scared when I say that. So we're going to talk about that. I want to give you an example about a woman after she saw her house demolished. I also want to give you an example. I mean, I also want to talk to you today. I think we're going to talk about tattoos, because my producer, Alex, was talking about tattoos. And so we're going to talk about tattoos and the Christian heart. We're also going to talk about a prayer that is perfect for this Lent, and it actually comes from the third step in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So this is kind of awesome. A lot of things have been brought to my attention these last few days. So grab your coffee, look out your window, be grateful, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Stick around. We are going to, if we have time today, if not, Alex is going to be on the hot seat tomorrow. We're going to talk about tattoos. There's so much to discuss about tattoos. Everyone's got an opinion. They're no longer really shocking. However, I can trace from the beginnings of the shocking time in our country to today, just trace it in the last, couple decades. And also, where are we now with them? Where are we as Catholics? Where are we as Christians? Where are we as the faithful? Where are we as just members of society, if we want to be professional versus avant-garde, or does that even matter now? So we'll take a look at that if we can today. If not, we'll start there tomorrow. It's an important topic. It really is, because a lot of times people are afraid to enter into controversy. They don't want to do anything particularly wrong or offensive. And oftentimes, one thing very important to remember is that tattoos are permanent. Now, you can get them removed with laser, but basically they're pretty permanent. That would be an ordeal and it would be costly. So they are a statement and they're permanent. And I will tell you, though, even in psychiatry, I would hope it's changed the mindset, but there was a time when, even though this isn't the end of the program, so we're going to go back to this third step prayer. We're going to go back to Ash Wednesday as well. But there was a time when there was a thing that was lightly referred to, not in the books, but around colloquial wisdom, of the tattoo sign, that the amount of personality disorder and antisocial behavior was directly related to the amount of tattoos, or inversely proportional to the amount of tattoos, something like that. And it was just kind of like a thing. It wasn't any hard and fast, and hopefully we all took it with a grain of salt, and didn't, I did anyway, and you don't use that as your measure, because people got tattoos for all different kinds of reasons. But at one point, the people who got tattoos usually were military or prisoners. That was kind of like the way, or maybe gang members. So that was where it was relegated. Now it's a whole different world, and we are a whole different world. We change very rapidly, and we have to be adaptable. If you do not adapt, you die, basically. And that means die in personality wise. You start sinking. It doesn't mean you have to accept. It just means that we have to understand that we are on the move. We're a people on the move. We've always been on the move. I'm not talking about just Americans. I mean, people. We're always on the move. I happened to read today in the book of John about speaking in tongues. You know, we look at that as if, oh, we're just, you know, resurrecting this ancient idea when people do speak in tongues, or we have our own particular thoughts about it. However, he was very cautious about it. If you happen to have that gift, he described very, very specifically what that gift is about. And that the take-home message is that your place is to better the community, is to better human beings, better yourself and better others. That is your responsibility, to lift up others, not to drag them down, to lift them up. And if your speaking in tongues has no meaning to them or leaves them empty or leaves you empty, you have no idea what you're saying, you have no idea what they're saying, then there's a chasm and you've done nothing but waste a little time. And I guess you can kind of look at that as tattoos. I am reversing the order of what I said I would do, where I was going to do this at the end. And Alex is telling me also that it's very expensive to remove tattoos from what he has read. Now, yes, if you have a little tiny tattoo, I know someone who just had their initials put on their arm, like the person is now 74 and they had it removed. Why? I really don't know. But when I asked about it, they had it done way back in the 1950s when they were in the military. They just had their initials. That's it. And so they had it removed. But, you know, when you have these scenes and these beautiful, intricate pieces of art on you and you choose to remove it, it's important. And again, we're talking about balance. We're talking about for the good of yourself and the good of others. So it's very difficult to find that balance sometimes, but I do want to get into that because I think it's a good subject. And I know that especially women have been kind of pigeonholed until recently about tattoos. And I know that a lot of people, there's supposedly heated Christian debate, which I think probably isn't as heated, although the article that I found was from 2015, so maybe it still is. Because I think we need to all, let me just say one more thing. I think we need to also look at, as I was listening to yesterday on, I don't know what it was, maybe it was Catholic Answers, when people are very literal to, and remember, the after 2,000 years, the translations and all the different translations into this language, that language, this English, more English, different English, updated English, today's English, dumbed down English, you know, really a lot of the truth and the context gets missed. And what was told yesterday, or what I listened to yesterday, for a few minutes. And this applies to a lot of things for our Lent. It applies a lot of things about this third step prayer I'm going to read to you. It also applies a lot to detachment and attachment. Is that if you take anything out of the Bible, somebody had called in, I guess, and asked about, you know, asked about the controversy that some circles have in calling anyone but God Father, because it said clearly in the Bible, you call no one Father. But at the same time, you call your father, father, your biological father, father. I mean, there's all these things that in context, you had to look at the context of the day, because as it was spoken, yesterday and from a historian, a biblical historian, that father was used to describe the kings, the Caesars, who had both divine and, earthly authority, according to them, and you had to venerate them as a divinity and as a father, as the authority over everything. So the language that was used of the day had a context that is very foreign to us. We wouldn't even be able to begin. We just know that we have Father's Day cards, you know, so we're not going to pick out a Father's Day card, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of importance in looking at the context when you look at why someone is tattooed. If someone was at, think about all the millions of people that were tattooed in the concentration camps, all the Catholics, all the gypsies, all the Jews, all the homosexuals, they're all tattooed. Now that in its day, having a tattoo with some kind of symbol or numbers on it would be incredibly traumatizing. And it may have a whole different context, a whole different bent. We've moved into a different direction in these last several decades. And I think there's a reason for it. I think there's a very big reason for it. I think that the media I'm sorry, the mediums that we use, the internet, all the digital world that we're in, almost make it necessary to carry our statements. We no longer have our own handwriting in our and in our messages, you know, each trying to make each letter perfect and writing some beautiful tome. We don't have a lot of physical face-to-face, breath-to-breath contact. And sometimes the statements, I remember seeing a Hispanic man with a Lady of Guadalupe tattooed on his back on a hot summer day as he's walking down the street and I'm behind him. And it was, I thought it was very beautiful. And I thought, Our Lady of Guadalupe, there she is again, because she's my favorite. So, you know, to me, it was my, it was kind of her like, backpacking, you know, hitchhiking on this guy and saying hello to me. So there are some things to consider when we want to look at something like tattoos. So this complete segment has been about tattoos. I will revisit it, but I want to tell you the story of a woman who saw her house demolished and what physiologically happened to her. And it will illustrate for you the ties between physiological attachment and spiritual and emotional attachment. And I tell you, I don't want to give up my attachments, and I don't think you give up. I think you add to when I think about, well, what does he mean? You have to give up your family. What did Jesus mean? Give up your mother, your father, and your children? I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give them up. But there's a way you must give them up. You must attach. But yet you do it and still have a love beyond all loves for the very same people. And how we accomplish that, we'll get to some of that on the other side of the break with a little help from our friends, Prayer and Jeremiah. I will see you on the other side of the break. I misread my cue, so I can do this third step prayer before we go. All right. This came from page 63 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just happened to see it online. It says, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. And you will get the rest of it on the other side of the break. All right. This is Dr. Michelle misreading cues on this lovely, beautiful, glorious day. I will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You can email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. You can text during our live program, which is right now, 573-4-BREAD-4, or you can call. You can also email, because we'll get the email. You can log on to breadboxmedia.com to see all the past shows. You can also log on to... It's breadboxmedia.podbean.com to see past shows. We'll go over to the right, scroll down to Dr. Michelle Live. It'll bring everything up, and you can also see all the other contributors as well. And you can become friend of the show by logging onto breadboxmedia.com and finding friend of the show, follow the prompts. Find Dr. Michelle Live, and there you go. And I hope you all who have the rosaries from Rugged Rosaries or Cord Beads, I think is another Google name for them, they started out to be made for the troops. I find them interesting. I like them. I have one hanging from my rearview mirror. I love it. It's kind of khaki colored with a camouflage cord. So all you who have them, I hope that you're enjoying them. And then also anyone who's interested, just log on They don't even know I'm plugging them, but I like them. And the woman's son did the website, and it's a lovely website. So I was, before the break and before I misread all the cues, I started the third step prayer. Now, I like to go to that because not only am I trained with substance abuse and that kind of thing, and I, when I'm volunteering with the homeless, I mean, most of them have some substance abuse or they're alcoholics. And a lot of the 12-step programs now, I think what's going to happen, my prediction, is that in the next, I don't know how many years, there's actually going to be, in fact, there's even a Kickstarter that has a satire on a mockumentary on something like all addictions, or as if everyone, that there's addiction for everything. Well, I think what we're finding, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwaters. I think what we're going to find, this is my prediction, my opinion only, there's a core in any addictive personality, which many of us have. The core is trauma. And when we talk about addiction, we do talk about, I'm going way off the subject here, but maybe not. Some people get addicted, quote unquote, to sun tanning in a sun booth, a tanning booth. Some people do start with that one tattoo and they get obsessed. Something clicks in them and they keep going. Same with plastic surgery. You see these pictures of people who, there's an actual phenomena, a psychological phenomena that happens that people become, quote, addicted, unquote. That's, I'm just using those in quotes there, to plastic surgery. They have one thing done and then they need another and then they need another. And pretty soon they've got 18, 20 under plastic surgeries. And it can be a real problem. Same with dentistry, same with all kinds of things. What causes the brain to click over into an obsession and a compulsion and more of a compulsion? That is, anyone's guess. So that's a little aside. Now, so I do look to that a lot because the 12 steps were founded to say, we got a real problem here. It's destroying lives. It's destroying families. It's destroying children. It's destroying the workplace. And we can't change. By ourselves, we can do nothing. And thus, out of that came in 1932, for alcoholics. So that's step one for alcoholics. Like so many things that we take advantage of. Like, remember the beeper? There was a time when the beeper, some of you don't even know what that is. It was a little thing you wore, doctors wore in their belts, and anytime they got a call or whatever, it alerted them. So they didn't have to have an overhead, you know, calling Dr. So-and-so. And you'd know to go to a telephone and take your call. Well, that was a rite of passage. You got your beeper. It was like exciting. And it also then started happening that not only did doctors use them, but drug dealers use them. So they would always be on call. And then it got to where lots of people had beepers. It became very commonplace. Then we got the cell phone. Only a few people had cell, you know, it's that kind of thing. So I think the same thing is going to happen with what was known only as Alcoholics Anonymous, because there are 12-step programs for eating disorders, for sexual addictions, for eating addictions, different than eating disorders, but a kind of overeaters, strictly overeaters, where they've substituted one addiction for another. Eating disorders is a little bit different. For substance abuse, for all kinds, heroin specifically, for alcohol specifically, it's all codependence, so many different things. And I think it all comes down to these 12 steps are very, very inspired and they're very, very good. So here's a third step prayer. You may not be familiar with what the third step is. You don't have to be. It's a great prayer. It says, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. So isn't that a great Ash Wednesday and now Lent prayer? It heralds back to exactly what I was talking about before. In the very beginning of this program, that I had the inspiration on forgiveness and on detachment, and yet knowing almost in the same breath, don't get too up on the cloud here, because history has said that you walk out and, you know, you have to deal with life. Now the work comes. Do the work. Do the work. How many times have we heard that? Saint Benedict, the work, you know. We know that this is really important for us to say the inspiration and now the work. It's like if Ludwig von Beethoven was inspired to write Christ on the Mount of Olives, which I cannot say in German, it was written in German, and he just thought, oh, I got the inspiration. That is awesome. I will talk about it forever. He had to do the work, the hard work, the torturous work as he's going deaf, and write that. And it took something like 20 years between writing and getting it published, which is interesting. But that's another story. So when we talk about this detachment, I'm going around all around the board here, because when Alex brought up the tattoo thought, I thought this is a lovely thing to talk about, because it has been brought up to me many times. So also before the break, I was talking about how it's changed just in the last 20 years, how it spoke. It was a billboard, a statement of something, of the rite of passage of a gang, the rite of passage of a jail sentence, the rite of passage of a military person. You rarely saw it any other way. 1945, it was symbolic, not just symbolic. It was, people were tattooed like cattle. So there's a difference there. So it's, again, context. What are you saying? Why are you saying it? So now let's back up a bit to go to this attachment thing. And the story that I wanted to tell you was very touching to me. I know a woman who is from the Middle East and who is here, and family's here. In fact, a lot of the family's here. Mom and dad aren't here. Mom and dad are back in her place of birth. Like a lot of places, like my friend from Bosnia, who escaped Bosnia, she's a Muslim from Bosnia, and who, when they escaped, they left their house with underwear and pictures still in the drawers, and Serbs moved in to their home, just moved in. They were granted their home. They didn't rent the home. They moved into their home with underwears and pictures now theirs. Now, that has since returned, but they didn't know that that was going to happen then. So when we're talking about the length of time and what that means to some people in our very mobile society, it means a lot, but it doesn't mean as strong as someone who, now get this, my friend from Bosnia said she had been, her family had been in the general vicinity within a certain few block area for over 700 years. How would you know that? Our country is only a couple hundred years old and counting. So it's mind-boggling. So here, this person is from the Middle East in a very ancient part of the world. And she tells the story that her mother had an opportunity decades ago to build a house. And she put everything into this. She designed it. She built it almost single-handedly, this woman, and with this very large family. And it was her everything. It was her everything. And they had to flee because of ISIS. They had to flee the home. And at one point, after they were safe, and everything was okay, they were in a different place, she was shown the pictures of her demolished home. In her eyes, seeing this her demolished home, she fainted. And her heart gave out, and it began decades of heart problems. Now, when I come back, I want to talk about the very real broken heart syndrome, but what that has to do with attachments. So we'll see you on the other side of the break. And oh my gosh, we are walking into Lent together. This is Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and I was distracted. All right, so 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. So Jeremiah 29:11 says that God says, "For I know the thoughts that you think." Let me re-quote God. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So my statement about this woman is all about the concept of attachment as maybe a thwarter, a little bit of hope. There's no judgment with her because I've done it. Believe me, when I've had things ripped from me that I did not expect or prepare for, I did not handle it very well. And I can't say very well, I did what a lot of people do. I freaked out. And I felt my world was being ripped apart because it was being ripped apart. My world was being ripped apart. So there is actually a syndrome called the broken heart syndrome. Now, you know, I'm not talking about when you lose your child. I'm not talking about, you know, losing a human being and your home is your hearth of the human being. It's where you house your love and how you house your family and what you house it in. Now, we're very nomadic within this country in a weird way. We don't call it nomadic, but we're an odd kind of nomad. I don't know too many people. And yes, there are families I visit who have stayed in the same place, same little place for generations. And I kind of love them, and I kind of wish I was one of them, but that wasn't me. I've moved so many times. My family was very nomadic, and yours, I'm sure, is as well, where someone went to school here, they stayed there. A sister over here in Texas, a brother over there in Boston, an aunt over there in Florida, a mother in Seattle, a father in New Jersey. This is not an uncommon theme at all. And I think we'll probably regroup a little bit, but we came here coming onto the shoreline in the east and we moved west. We meaning everybody that came here and people who've come here recently, they come in someplace because they might come in through Catholic Charities or some other thing. Maybe they're refugees and they stay planted. They have a welcoming place. Maybe it's Wisconsin. Maybe it's not, they don't know where to go and they end up going to school, having their families go to school, then their families meet other people and then they stay. So there's an interesting demographic, the way that we do things. But there's an actual thing called a broken heart syndrome. It's a medical phenomena. And they've noticed it for many, many years. And that's why it has kind of a romantic name to it. But I'll let you know, from actually the Mayo Clinic, in broken heart syndrome, there is a temporary disruption of your heart. It is an actual temporary but medically diagnosable syndrome. This is from the Mayo Clinic. It's often brought on by a stressful situation such as death of a loved one, a divorce, a loss of a job, a loss of your home, right? Mainly death of a loved one is where they first started putting two and two together, but it can be of anything. Now, what if you've had all those things all in one time? I have. And let me tell you, it's a trip. You, stuff comes out of you. You have no idea how that can happen. You don't understand how in your cells, how cellular your reality is, and how much you count on the ground you walk on. And that ground you walk on is your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your children, your house, your nationality, your state, your zip code, your area code, your net worth, your job, your profession, your title. It's a trip. And then you know what? We're going to talk about tattoos tomorrow, because I think, Alex, is this the last one? I think it is the last one. So yes, it's the final one. So Alex, we're going to talk about tattoos tomorrow, but, I'm going to get him on the air no matter what, whether he wants to or not. I'm just warning you now. So people with a broken heart syndrome may have a sudden chest pain or think they're having a heart attack. And it can also be triggered by a serious physical illness or surgery. So you can have the surgery that really shocks you into this. It has a disruption of the heart's normal pumping function in one area of the heart. The remainder of the heart function is normal. But evidently, the rest of the when you start compensating, you may have even more forceful contractions. It might be caused by the surge. It's a reaction of the surge of stress hormones. Thus, when Jesus talks, this is my opinion and a kind of a connecting my dots. When Jesus talks about sell everything, dude, in order to follow me, that's if you really want to know what it really is going to take. Or as he said to many of his disciples, when they said, I will not leave Peter, I will not. And he was the rock upon which he built his church. But I will not leave you, Jesus. They can do anything to me. I want to be on that cross just like you. And he said, you know, you don't know what you're saying. And oftentimes we do that. And I even said that yesterday. I want to do what you've just shown me. That's what I want. And I also was reminded immediately of Peter, who said that a bunch of times as well. I'm going to look this up real quick. I only have a couple of minutes, but I wanted to find out about the end of life here. Eternal life that Jesus taught about when he taught about detachment, because there is really an important thing of that comes along that we tend to like throw out because we think it's, oh, it's New Age or it's not Christian. Well, we're talking about ancient religious texts, which Jesus ingested, which he learned, which he grew from, and which he came to fulfill. So one of the most important things is that when we attach ourselves, when we grow into something like that, sadly, we hear some people, human beings, actually their physical bodies grow into the place that they've been sitting in for too long. We can do that spiritually as well. And we can do that emotionally as well. And when this woman, who now has some heart issues, it was brought on by the ripping apart of seeing everything that she didn't understand. When she had to leave it, she left a house she knew. But she didn't understand it was demolished. And many of you who've gone through divorce, oh my gosh, how often is your brain still in that home? Because when you're married and you say, I'm married, I take you as my lawfully wedded husband, and that is no longer, and it is ripped from you, it is severed, it's taken a knife, whoop, it's gone. Even though people say, move on. People tell everyone to move on. Institutions say, move on. Women who have had trauma, move on. Women and men whose children have undergone trauma, well, move on. You can't just move on. Your body is a reminder. Your body is a temple. And your body says, wait a minute, these had importance. I wrapped some of me around this. So, some of the causes are news of an unexpected death of a loved one, a frightening medical diagnosis, domestic abuse, losing or even winning a lot of money, strong arguments, a surprise party, believe it or not, having to perform publicly, job loss, divorce, physical stressors. And this is what often happens, that there are medicines that can also do the same thing. Sometimes elderly people who are given, or anyone who has a certain physiology, given too much thyroid medicine, just the regular adult dose, it might be too much for that body. So you have to really be prepared for these things. So in this broken heart syndrome, and putting this to our Ash Wednesday and kind of wrapping this all up, is that if we become too attached either to our statements, to who we are, because at any moment in time, we're still living, but we ain't who we thought we were. You were Mrs. So-and-so, and you're not Mrs. So-and-so anymore. You were the daughter of, you will always be the daughter of someone, but someone who lived two blocks away and now they're not living, or the house has been bombed. This is a people's very own reality over and over. But the good news is that when you begin to live and breathe, and you little by little invest yourself in your understanding that your attachment should be to God and to to love in its true form, not into a material substance, your body won't be churning out those stress hormones as strongly. But it takes the work. And that's what we want to get into this particular Lent. What does it mean to get your inspiration that you asked so desperately for, but then not know how to do the work? So we're going to go into that. I'm also going to go into tattoos, because we still are having all kinds of issues and controversy about it. And I think we're just kind of not open enough to looking at this particular day in life, the here and now. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Please email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media, get the app, change the world.